Hi, and welcome to Bible Secrets, a contemporary podcast series about the origins, translations, and interpretations of the Bible and Holy Scriptures.
We hope you enjoy this piece of art in the form of discussion, which was derived from hours of independent study and a burning passion for seeking truth and wisdom.
We speak freely on this podcast, so there may be language that's not entirely suited or agreed with everybody, but it's meant to be fun while it's also educational.
Please like and subscribe, share, and help us reach more people and inspire conversations that can both be hard but necessary. This is Bible Secrets.
Hell yeah! Let's go.
I wanna know what the meaning of life is. I wanna know.
Yeah. Welcome to the Bible Secrets, where we're gonna be the meanest. You might be jealous of us, you might want some money and be some greenest, but you know I'll give you that thesis. You know that I'm gonna be a Jesus. Genius Jesus, I'm gonna give you the Yeezus. Welcome back, everybody.
Welcome everybody
to episode 11 of Bible Secrets, and I just spit the dopest bars in 2022 to all y'all.
Pretty dope.
I am your co-host Chandler Fair,
and I'm your other co-host Cougar Coburn,
and we are deep in this mofo, as some people might say.
We're pretty deep in it.
This is episode 11, man. We've been, you know, this is, I'll share this now. This is the last one before we wrap up and do our outro episode next. Cougar and I have, I feel like I say this all the time, been working just hard on these. Yeah. So thank you so much for listening and watching and continuing to support us and dive deeper into your faith and your thoughts and your beliefs. So I just wanted to say before, you know, the last episode, thank you so much to everyone who supports us, and that's no one right now, but I
shout out no one.
I got faith that God will bring people to the podcast and to help you grow deeper in your faith, not through us, but we're just trying to be vessels for his spirit.
And do you know why you have faith in that? Because that's all it comes down.
That's all it comes down to, baby. Get the merch. Get the merch.
Plug the merch, man.
So, yeah, man, we living. Today's episode is not going to be super fun. You know, like.
It really isn't for people our age.
Like,
honestly,
the beginning of it, we're going to be talking about the buns, you know? And maybe between your legs, we're going to talk about that gun.
The gun and the buns, baby.
That shooting out that semen that gonna make you a son. Your boy's a rapper today.
You're hitting it.
Yeah, man. So we're talking about sexual immorality.
Sexual immorality. So right off the bat, what does that mean to you?
It means to me being sexually promiscuous is something that I think I've always thought of immorality. I think over sexualizing things, over promiscuity. And I would say, just from Chan's perspective, like being selfish with sexual acts, not necessarily about being the other person, but trying to derive something and get something from someone that is inherently sexual.
And that would be immoral.
So I would say
that's
so.
Your like just definition that's, outside of the Bible and
yeah,
everything.
Yeah, that's okay. Just me. What about you?
Yeah, just, I mean, base term, sexual shit that people are doing immorally, but again, where the morals coming from. Promiscuous sex is tough. I've been there, done that. It's tough. But I really agree with yours of, like, you know, manipulating somebody into sleeping with you or doing anything with you, and that fact, that's immoral to me. So, yeah, like, my personal standard of sexual immorality is probably not the greatest, because I would say, especially earlier in my life, but because now if I would say it's my biblical definition, but just my personal definition, you'd have to do something. I mean, you'd have to like hurt somebody or do something they didn't want. But other than that, like, fuck, man, if they're, are they of legal age and they were consenting, who am I to say what you're doing? You know what I'm saying? So
that's most people, bro.
That's where I'm at.
That's most people.
I would say it's very relative for 95% of it. Because, like, you know, a child, not relative. Forcing somebody to do it, not relative. But, like, there's a lot of shit you can squeeze in between an 18-year-old and a 90-year-old in a consenting way. All the things you could accomplish with boy or girl, whatever, you know, like, there's a lot of shit.
I've even thought in the past, you know, this is pretty controversial, but people have told me that even if you have to coax somebody into having sex, that that's sexually immoral or assault to them. And I've always kind of been on the fence about that because I'm like, listen, I agree that if you ask someone or if you approach someone and you're like, hey, I want to do the nasty with you. Mm-hmm. And they're like, no. And you're like, well, come on. We should do it.
What about his dick? Come on.
You know, it'd be fun. Like, yeah. You know, like, I always was like, that's creepy, but I don't know, like, it's still your choice at the end of it.
It's still consent, right?
Right. So
I would see that. I could see that.
But I can also see it from the other side where it's like no should mean no. So again, it's all relative. Typically, it's generally relative.
You know, and even being rejected. So, dude, this gets into some dicey territory. But some women flirt that way. You know what I'm saying? They don't say, no, stop. They say, oh, no. And you're supposed to kind of like pursue a little bit.
Yeah.
That is the diciest fucking game in the whole world because, again, as long as you're not forcing, it's just coercion. You're trying to pursue and she's saying, ah. She's saying no, but in a maybe way. You know what I'm saying? And not no like stop, but like, oh, I don't know. Like, yeah. It's like, ooh, there's still the doors open a little bit.
Yeah, women, y'all are fucked up for that.
Come on, man. Just tell me you don't want to do it or tell me you do. But,
y'all are wrong for that. Y'all are wrong for that.
And, you know, that comes from a person who, like, there's no forced anything, obviously, like that. But that I've seen men experience that.
That's happened to me, dude. Yeah, I've been texting 100%. A girl and the girl was like, stop. And I, dude, me, you know, being me, I was like, okay.
Stop.
Like, I'll stop. And she went, no, that's not what I meant. And I went, well, then don't say stop, motherfucker.
You got to hold you at your words, ladies. So just tell us what you want.
So, yeah. But then when you look at the Bible or scripture, you see that sexual immorality is much deeper and more defined.
Yes.
There's more to it than what the world may put on it.
Well, and yeah, this goes, I would say that the Bible holds sex to a very important standard or value.
Absolutely.
I would also say that our society holds sex to a very important and high standard.
For sure.
Just in different ways. They say, well, since we hold it to this standard, we should do it all the time. And the Bible's saying, since it's such a high standard and such a beautiful or such a divine thing that you should only do it a limited time with people that you really love or some shit like that.
I'd say the standards are different, but their view of the power of sex is very similar.
They're honest about the power of sex both ways. Yes, absolutely.
Which you'll see that even outside of the Bible.
Yeah,
there's like in the Nag Hammadi and other texts and other scriptures, you'll see that everyone will see and bear witness to the fact that sex is a very powerful thing. No matter who you are, what you're reading, sex is some people say it's the greatest vice, man.
Yeah.
It's the greatest drug.
Well, and Buddhism hits heavy on that too. It understands how potent sex is and why you should, because then it's like you said, it's one of the most dangerous ones because it's so potent that you'll be craving it. You'll think about it and you're trying to step away from desire. So sex is going to be one of the first things that it's like, you want to try to not desire that anymore because desire causes suffering, blah, blah, blah. But again, Buddhism is taking sex seriously. They're not like, nah, you know. And even though our society takes sex seriously, that seems the conclusion is, nah, you know, is under the like two rules that you don't break, you can do whatever you want. Free reign can be a scary thing, man. When we don't, because again, it's like, what's the definition of sex? Is it penis and vagina and that's it? Okay. Well, that's what I thought the definition was, and then I experienced it, and that's not the only thing that happens when you have sex with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You are intimate and vulnerable and alone and completely naked, and you're doing something that you're passing a lot of information. You're passing a lot of body language and
chemicals,
bro. Like, it's very fucking psychedelic almost. It is scary how much it can. Because, I mean, then think of how much men think about sex during the day.
Ooh,
and so it's like this shit you know, even if all my other vices, sex is probably the one that pops up in my head the most.
Mm.
Even, and that's the weird thing is like, even when I don't want it to, that's where it becomes scary is like, okay, ooh, I just had kind of a, like a promiscuous thought. Well, I wouldn't like to think of, all of a sudden I'm fucking five sentences into the dialogue of that situation. And it's like, whoa, this is potent shit.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think it's the thing that we think about the most?
Well, I think because it's important, and I think we're wired to desire it, especially men, like to go get it, to go pursue it.
Yeah.
And then women are the filters of the men. What was your question again?
Why do you think we think about sex the most? Why do you think it's the greatest vice possible?
I would also say that our society has set us up to be like that.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? I can't get on TikTok and not see at least, and this is an algorithm thing probably because I stop on for 10 seconds or, but like you can't even, I mean, everywhere. It's just sexualized women. You know what I'm saying? And so when you get on, and I even saw this, I got onto my works when I worked at Craters of the Moon. I got onto the YouTube page because I was looking at some stupid video up, and on it was Cardi B's WAP playing as like the ad, like the initial thing that you come in. And just these tiggle bitties right in the fucking camera, bro. And I was just like, holy fuck. Like, I could easily be a 6-year-old kid getting on here. Like, and it doesn't keep any memory. So it's not like I've been searching up Cardi B and then it's suggesting that. It's a blank new website every single time.
Wow.
And I was like, damn, the access is fucking right there. And what is that going? Okay. So I'm a 10-year-old boy and I see Cardi B's tiggle bitties out there. I'm going to look up on YouTube where I can see more of that. And when I realize that YouTube will only let you go so deep, well, shit, man, there's probably other sites out there that'll let me go a little deeper.
Totally.
Then you fall down it and that's life, man.
Yeah, I think we're definitely programmed to it. And like you're saying, like sex sells. Like that's a big thing that people say.
So badly.
Well, and it's one of the big marketing tools people use. 100%. I mean, look at every Carl's Jr. commercial that you've ever seen. Exactly. Son.
The GoDaddy commercials.
Yep. Chevy, I think, does it a lot. Like there's a lot of people who will use like women in a promiscuous way to sell. I also think that, and I'll speak from the male perspective here because I can't necessarily speak for females, but from a guy's perspective, the reason that you want to have sex, I would say can become, it's not always like this, but men are, okay, I was having this debate with this girl the other day, and she was like, girls want to have sex just as much as guys. And I was like, I don't think you know what it's like to be a dude. And she was like, well, I don't think you know what it's like to be a woman. And I was like, fair enough, you know. But like the amount of testosterone that we have in our bodies compared to you guys, which we know will influence our horniness, is like way more than yours. And she's like, well, it's the same thing for estrogen. Okay, again, I'll give you this, fair. But how many women do you know that are crazy about every single guy that they see?
Not a lot,
right? I mean, there are a couple
can
that
I,
I've
can
met.
Can I bring up the Tinder percentage that I heard? That 4.5 girls swipe right. 4.5% of girls swipe right on the Tinder accounts.
4.5. Yeah.
What'd I say? Sorry.
You said 4.5. I'm just clarifying.
Oh, yeah, 4.5. Yeah.
Decimals.
Men swiped right on 70%, 80%.
Yeah.
There's a huge discrepancy on the women are filtering and picking the highest quality men, and then the non high value men fall to the wayside. There's like an 80-20 type shit going on.
Well, bro, and I'll tell you what, I know dudes that just do this, that just swipe right, that they don't even look at who the fuck.
I would probably say any guy that I've seen, because that's the strategy is click all of them, and then the ones that like you, you'll get to look through. Like that's that's the strat. No girl would fucking do that because they would have a million matches.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So for men, I think that sex is less about the other person typically. Not always. Normally, it's less about the other person, and it's literally more about nutting.
Yeah, 100%.
That's what 100%. It's about, you know? So for me, I think that the reason that men think about it all the time is because it's the easiest drug to get.
Yes.
You don't need money. You don't really need to go anywhere. You could do it in the fucking Walmart bathroom if you wanted to.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, there's different places that you can just experience this that, like, it just makes it this vice that's, so, like you're saying, so powerful and dangerous for us.
And it's just like a vape. You know, there's a difference between a cigarette and a vape, because you can rip that vape during work. Mm. You can't light up a cigarette during work. Mm. You know what I'm saying? There's a huge ease of access that, yeah, like a woman, okay, stereotype, gonna stereotype right here, but she needs to feel comfortable and safe. And not every woman, but every woman that I fucking ran into, she wants to feel safe, protected, comfortable, and relaxed. And then she may be able to get into the mindset to be able to bring herself or allow herself to experience that. And then very small things can deter that. You know what I'm saying?
Totally.
But again, like, bro, a dude can fucking jack off in crazy places. And it's just, I just wanted to know.
And just keep going.
Yeah, he doesn't just walk out and be, everything's fine.
And for, like, the woman, like, he doesn't really even have to like the woman. Like, yes, like right. In order to do this.
Right, and so that's the thing is, like, if girls are like that, then I would ask that same girl, like, do you have sex with men you don't find attractive?
Right, and the answer would most likely be no.
Like, no, yeah. Hell no. But it's like, well, guys, like, they would be like, I think that girls like this are pretty, but, like, if she wants to be down, I'm probably down. You know what I'm saying? Like,
totally.
Guys function a lot differently than women.
But the Bible, man, the Bible gives us a different perspective,
yes,
on what it means to be sexually immoral.
And what's, just from your growing up in the church definition, what is that sexual immorality?
Can we go back to Matthew 19?
Absolutely.
Because I think that it does a good job of saying this. Essentially, so from what I understand, and this is the New Testament, we could go back to the Old Testament where it says that man and woman are supposed to be conjoined, one man, one woman, and be made one flesh. But Jesus even says, haven't you read, from the beginning the Creator made them male and female, this is verse 4 where you're exactly at, and said, for this reason a man will leave his mother and his father and be united with his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they're no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore God has joined, and let no one separate. So the definition of sexual immorality that I grew up with was that sex is only permitted, and even orgasms, right? Mm-hmm. That orgasms are only permitted between one man and one woman who are binded. Interesting enough, through the government, right? Not even through God, because it's through marriage, which is through a governmental thing. Yes. And that they cannot cheat on their spouse, they can't masturbate off their own, and they can't get divorced. And if they get divorced and then have sex with other people, I mean, there's certain rules around that, but typically it's going to be adultery.
Okay.
Because they're committing fornication with people who weren't with their one flesh.
But then in the new law, if she cheats on you, you can divorce her.
No, that's an old law.
Old law. Okay.
Yeah. But Jesus is saying that it wasn't supposed to be like that, but because of the hardness of their hearts, put it in there.
Okay.
So that's actually an Old Testament thing.
Got you. Okay. Beautiful.
So that begs the question of what is then sexually immoral to the Bible?
Do you want to read through just a couple verses that I found?
Sure. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye shall abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. That's cool. Not in the lust of concupiscence. What the fuck does that mean? Even as the Gentiles know before God. I mean, that's pretty good, because you should know how to possess your vessel in sanctification and honor.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. So, I mean, it's just calling out for you to have some sort of self-control, right?
1 Corinthians 6:18 is actually one that a lot of people use. They say, flee from fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body.
Damn.
So that's what I mean by it's the easiest one to get, because, like, everything else is typically outside of us.
Right.
Where sex and, like, ecstasy, these feelings
internal.
Come from
our
us.
Our own body makes it.
Yeah.
We don't need a drug to do it for us. Wow.
Matthew 5:28.
Oh, yeah. You brought that one up.
Yeah. So do you look upon a woman? He's committed adultery in his heart. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call upon the Lord with that is pure. And Leviticus 18:22 is the big one where it says, thou shalt not lay with mankind, as with womankind it is an abomination. So, Cougar, from what you're understanding, what are the things that the Bible lays out as sexually immoral? Like, what are the things that we're not supposed to do?
Yeah, it just seems that anything that you have a lust for, and I don't know if lust is, and we've debated on the definition of lust, if you lust after your wife. Because right. you can be sexually attracted to your wife, but I don't know if that's lusting.
Right.
Lusting seems kind of like, oh, I just want to fuck you. You know what I'm saying? Like, instead of like, damn, I feel these emotions. I mean, I want to give this woman my entire being. Lust is like, yeah, I just want to put my dick in.
Can we look up from Blue Letter Bible, Matthew 5:28, because it says whoever lusts after a woman? Because our conversation off air that we had was about the English version of lust, which the definition of that is to have a strong sexual desire, which again, could just mean anything.
Right. Just be like, damn, I thought that girl was beautiful. Well, that's lust. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
And that girl's my wife. That could still be lust.
As opposed to another person could look at lust and being like, well, did you like try to reach out to her and then reach out to her and then keep messaging her until she messaged you back? And then, you know, like to take action as opposed to the imagination. Like some people would define lust in different ways in that sense.
Yes. Yes.
Yep. So can we see what Blue Letter Bible has to say about?
I didn't do Blue Letter
Bible. You're good. I'm just curious about like what the actual definition of that is. Some of the things we'll be covering in this episode are fornication outside of marriage, masturbation, adultery. We might talk about bestiality, homosexuality.
Oh yeah.
All of these things are 528. It are outside of the will of God, so says the Bible. But scroll down a little bit, please. Unto you that whoever looketh on a wisdom, or no, lust after, sorry, the bottom one, Freya.
This one?
G 1937, and the definition is to turn upon a thing, to have a desire for, long for, to desire, to lust after, covet. So covet is interesting because that also means lie, right?
Right.
Of those who seeketh things forbidden. Others are desire, covet, lust after, fain.
Fain. What a fain.
I don't know what fain means. I think that it's interesting how the first definition is to turn upon a thing. So it's almost like to lust does kind of seem like it might be. Is it a verb? Scroll up a little bit. Yeah, it's a verb.
Okay.
So to turn upon a thing. So that's kind of interesting. Fain is pleased or willing under the circumstances. I don't know. That might just be like a different translated word that they used for this word.
So fain, to lust after, to covet.
Yeah, that's interesting. So there are two, there's four definitions, and the first one is to turn upon a thing, and the second one is to desire for, long for, to desire. So that's interesting.
And you could lust after someone you love? You could desire them?
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, for sure.
So what does turn upon a thing mean? I don't even know what that means.
I feel like, can we click anything on that? Can you click that box? No. Nope. I don't know, man. To me, what like to turn upon a thing... And I guess we can go deeper on this off the podcast. We didn't even think about this. What is like to actually act upon what you're doing?
Oh,
you know what I mean? To like physically chase.
Right.
Instead of just like having the thought in your head of like, wow, that girl's beautiful. Like, I'd love to like, you know, be inside of her. Whatever gross thing you're going to think at that time.
Right.
To actually be like pursuing that. Or like even festering on it. Like if you're in a modern sense going on like her socials all the time and like continuing. Like to me, that would kind of be like to act upon, to turn upon that thing.
Got you. Okay. Nice.
But I can also see how like, you know, but that also can lead to infatuation. Like if you have such an infatuation with someone, you're lusting after them. Even if you're not acting upon it, like being towards them.
Right. Yeah. Yep.
Interesting.
Beautiful. I like that shit.
So I kind of feel like we don't need a debate on
what like, it is.
No, like I just mean like the parts of sexual immorality that I think are pretty agreeable. Like I don't think we would need a debate on like sexual assault.
Right.
Like, that's pretty clear. Well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if you do, you should probably marry the girl at least. Right. And,
come on.
So like sexual assault, like bestiality, I think it's pretty clear that, you know, we're supposed to be with people, right, and it's
not an animal.
Not right. going to be good for you to be with a
right.
dog.
Can't reproduce with a dog. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Not that bitch.
And last one that I have, Mark chapter 7. And he said, that which cometh out of the man that defileth the man, for from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things, all these evil things come from within and defile the man.
What do you think that means to you?
Well, the heart, I got a bunch of fucking verses about how evil hearts are.
The heart of men specifically.
The heart of men, yep. Yeah. Precede evil thoughts. So yeah, right there. That's actually pretty much the entire definition of the heart, is that it precedes evil thoughts. Adulteries, fornications, and murder. So what falls under fornication? Just any sex outside of marriage?
Mm-hmm.
Any kind of, yeah. So then again, you'd have to say, what is the definition of marriage? But then again, so someone would use this as like, oh, wow, there's someone in my church who is gay and they came out. So we're going to judge the fuck out of them.
Totally.
But I am having sex with girls, so it makes it okay.
Or more like okay. More right, okay.
More okay. Yeah. Which then you can make the debate on, well, if sin is split, then you can split the sin up. But again, it's like, well, you're pursuing your lustful endeavors just like this person. Like, you're no fucking better, you
exactly.
know, like you're no better in terms of this definition, you know, like, so promiscuous. I feel like being gay should be treated like being promiscuous. Just like, oh, okay. You know, like, I don't necessarily do that. If someone sat down and said, I fuck 20 bitches a day, Andrew Tate, I'd be like, yeah, that's cool. I don't do that. But right. like, you can do whatever you want. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I do kind of, for me, when you really look at like the big debated ones that I think are like homosexuality for sure, because there are Christians who say that being gay is okay, that it's not necessarily a sin, and there's the vast majority of Christians that say that it's not okay because of what it says in scripture,
right.
And then masturbation is the other one that I kind of look at and go, it could be debated, or it's like more debated so than cheating on your spouse,
right.
or committing not committing adultery but like sexual assault, like innately kind of terrible things.
Yep.
For me, the things that I struggle with and wrestle with the most is homosexuality and masturbation. Mm-hmm. So which one of those do you want to go into first?
I'm down with masturbation first.
Okay.
I feel like masturbation is almost full embodiment of lust.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? You're just boiling it down to the one thing that you want, and you'll think of whatever it takes to get you there, and then it's over.
Totally.
There's only me who I'm concerned about in those moments. And that's very lustful. That's not like, I'm not thinking about, oh, is my family okay? I'm just like, oh God, I just want to do this. You know what I'm saying? I'm full selfish lust mode is all that I experience. I've never experienced a time where it was like, damn, that was like emotional and moving and like, wow, like I'm fucking moved by that. It's just like, oh yeah, okay, now I'm okay, sleep.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Tired, all the testosterone's out of you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Totally. Would you believe me if I told you that there is nowhere in the Bible that specifically said that masturbation is wrong?
100%.
Yeah.
Because I think it falls under lust.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah.
That's an argument that a lot of people use. They'll say that, well, there's nowhere in the Bible that says masturbation is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
The time that someone, quote unquote, masturbated and that God deemed it as wrong, I forget the name of it, but there's an old Mosaic covenant that says if your brother's, it's if your brother's wife dies, or if he can't produce children, then it's on you to do so.
Yes.
Like you as his brother.
If brothers are living together and one of them dies without a son, his widow must not marry outside the family. Her husband's brother shall take her and marry her and fulfill the duty of her brother-in-law to her.
So I don't know the name of the guy, but there was a guy who his brother died. This happened to him. And he, like, you know, had sex with his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And before he actually, like, did the thing, splurted in her, he took it out and splurted it on the ground, thus kind of spilling his seed.
Right.
Right. And they said that this was wrong.
No, you're good.
Jenna's going to vacuum.
She's going to get the vacuum on.
Because, you know, we're talking about sexual immorality, so you got to talk about sucking things up.
Sucking things. Man, get the sucker going.
But when you drop your seed on the ground, that's when God deemed it as wrong. Because, and a lot of people say that during that is because he didn't fulfill the commandment. Not necessarily because he masturbated, but just because he didn't do what was quote unquote good in the eyes of the Lord.
Right, right.
I have struggled with masturbation as an act. And I've also struggled with the guilt of masturbation for a good chunk of my life. In the church, it's very, I mean, I don't know if it was just my church or what was going on, but every February in my youth group, we had this series about dating and lust and all of, you know, the things that God doesn't want you to do because, you know, these are the daughters of God and da, 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 da. But that causes so much trauma in people.
Yep, it does.
And I would cry after I used to masturbate in high school because I felt so fucking guilty.
Can you tell? Can you talk about like the card that you would use?
Yeah. So we had these things called man cards, and man cards are essentially like there's purity, there's purity and courage and leadership. And in the case of purity, like we were told that we shouldn't that like, okay, so it was these man cards that our church used and they were divvied out on the front. They had like the things that we were working on the certain man card. And on the back, they were like a table. It was four columns and three rows.
Do you think I could find this online?
No, because they made it up at our church.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah. Bug. And at the end of the purity card on each one of the columns, the three, they had do not masturbate for a week, do not masturbate for 2 weeks, do not masturbate for a month. Like those are the checkpoints.
Okay.
I mean, if you look,
I'm just going to see if I can find it. But
you're good.
Going.
And
so they were keeping track of
essentially when we would masturbate. Yeah. And you would have to like turn in. I mean, they weren't keeping track. They weren't like, oh, did you masturbate this day? But it was more like, if you didn't complete that card, you couldn't get the next card.
Well, and if you didn't complete the card, they knew.
They knew, yeah.
They're like, oh, you've been masturbating because you didn't complete your card.
Yeah.
Then that would lead a kid to like try to complete his card, even if he has, because he knows the social shame that would come from that.
Totally. I mean, there was a dude in our group who was like, I've masturbated in 7 months and blah, blah, blah. And it was like a pride, like not like a pride thing, but it was like something that he had, quote unquote, over us.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So to me, like, masturbation is tough, man, because I just want to say to everybody out there who has been, like, traumatically impacted through the church because of this, that I certainly believe that all sin is, I don't know if it's equal, but I think just if you whack your pecker, that God's not going to kill you.
Yeah.
Now, I still believe it's a sin for the exact reasons that you said, because it's the most lustful thing that you can do, and you're completely taking that on for yourself.
Yes. Yep.
I listened to a pastor who they just gave a Sermon on the Mount series, and he was saying that marriage is, in God's eyes, the second most sacred covenant that a human can make.
Covenant with God and then covenant with them.
Exactly.
Okay.
Covenant with God and then the covenant with your spouse.
Right.
So the reason that masturbation would be a sin in there is because you're taking the act of sexuality of sex outside of the bedroom.
Yes. Yep.
I disagree with that. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to shout out Odyssey real quick. Wish we could have had him on the podcast, and it's not off of your own accord, bro. If you're watching, it's just because Coog and I kind of needed to wrap this up sooner than later. It seemed
Chan's leaving in fucking 5 days, man.
Yeah.
Four and a half now, maybe. So,
but Odyssey brought up a good point where he said, you know, in heaven, we're not going to be married. Like that's like a biblical thing. Like we're not married in heaven.
Yes.
So he said it doesn't really matter to God if we get married or not. He said it would probably be better if we did, you know, because we can experience that covenant. But it's not necessarily pertinent to our salvation.
Not the salvation part. Yep.
So he agrees with me more where it's like the sin of masturbation comes from the lust.
Yes.
It doesn't come from taking sex outside of the bedroom. I've struggled with that a lot, and I've really wrestled with it, and Ku can attest that for the longest time I was like, I was really questioning, like, even once, like, you think, like, even one time that you masturbate, that it's a sin. Like, you think, like, and I would even bring up, going to be exposing myself here. I've had a moment when I was doing the deed, and in my head, I was thinking about this girl that was, like, super nice in high school and, like, just, like, flirty with me. And, like, when I was, you know, beating my meat, I was thinking about holding her hand and, like, kissing her softly and, like, you know, like, patting her head because she's short.
Right.
And I got off to that. And because I'm a man and I'm controlled by my goddamn sexual urges, I went back 20 minutes later and played some more Yahtzee and thought about the grossest, most degenerative things.
It takes a turn real quick.
That I could think about. Exactly. But then I asked you, I said, does the first time make it still lustful? Because I'm not necessarily like lusting in the same way.
Right.
And at the time that I asked you that question, I would have said it does make it different. But now that I'm here, I know that because I'm just still trying to experience ecstasy for myself and taking that completely on for me, I was committing sin.
Right. Yep. And that's the thing that you can't get rid of. And that's why I would forewarn young men of masturbation, because I look at it just like meth. And someone's saying, meth? Not even once? And it's like, yeah, that's the whole slogan, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't know. Like, you do meth one time, you're going to be okay. You're not going to die unless you overdose. But, like, you can do meth. We could do meth tonight, and we would still wake up tomorrow morning unless we overdose, right?
Right.
It's not the end if you do meth one time. That's not why they say don't do meth once. They say because it will lead to more and more and more and more. And think about if you had meth installed in your hand. So if you could step into the bathroom and pee for 5 seconds and you could get that meth in you and get it quick, we would be meth addicts. You know what I'm saying?
So
it's a very slippery slope that I don't have any fucking data, bro. I would say 90%. I would say the vast majority of men masturbate, and I would say struggle with masturbation, because I would honestly say that if they tried to stop themselves, they couldn't.
Yeah. Totally.
Speaking from experience, speaking from the potentness of this shit. We're young men. We're the ones that have grown up in this shit, and we're just saying what it has brought us to. And there's never been a time of masturbation where I felt empowered. You know what I'm saying? It's always like, damn, if I meant all those things, why don't I just go do it?
You know what's crazy is I got to that point.
Of what?
Of, like, feeling empowered afterwards. And low key, I'm still kind of at that point right now. And that's something that I'm really struggling with, is because for so long I felt so traumatic about just doing it in the first place.
Yep.
I really had to, like, come within myself and reconcile the point of view that, or just the feeling of, like, this is okay.
Yes.
You know, like, this is fine. So I started to get to the point of view where it's like, I felt so good, dude.
Well,
and that's how it is. And I even got to the point where I was like, I would breathe afterwards, and I'd be like, I would consider that the first breath. But when you, I did, dude, that's what I called it, dude, because after the dice rolls, okay, the dice rolls, and you go, dude, all that comes out of you. But listen, that's worship, dog.
100%.
That's worship. When I start putting words on shit and, like, chasing
you're
that
feeling.
You're
making a doctrine over there. Yeah.
You're making a doctrine.
Yep.
So to me, I really had to struggle with that for a long time. So, but I just want to throw out, because like you're saying, the vast majority of men are silently struggling with this.
Yes.
And it's sad, and it feels embarrassing, and it feels a lot of shame around it.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't got to feel like that. You know, it's a hard thing, and it's the most powerful drug.
Yes.
That's just what it is. And you don't have to feel, you know, like you're alone, or like no one else knows what you're going through, because I guarantee you, every dude that you see that's around your same age, if you're between the ages of 20 and 29, struggles with that shit. And God doesn't love you any less. And that's the big thing. And that's kind of what they were preaching at my church, is that God doesn't love you any, is that God, not necessarily that God loves you less, but they would have treated you differently.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Right? So know that God doesn't love you any less. And if the people around you love you less, you should separate from those people.
Yes. What if the people around you are saying that they
wouldn't recommend it. Do you think that's okay? You know, someone's like, I don't know if you should do that.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think that God would tell you the same thing. That God would be like, listen, yeah. I don't know if you should really be doing that.
And if I start to use that as a sense of to be able to have control over your life, me personally, now it's being abused rather than a nice tip of like, yo, control your impulses before they take over you. Well, my church misrepresented it. And now I have this whole fucking trauma with it that I can't even reconcile it because my church fucked me up from the beginning when it was just like, there's good reason for this book to be warning us against like sex because of how dangerous it is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so, totally.
Churches, man, they're kind of fucking annoying to me. I think they're absolutely necessary, but like that's some bullshit that them doing that to children, they may still be doing that right now.
They might be. Yeah. So So we're kind of we're pretty much in agreement on masturbation. Yeah. It's a tough topic and it's, you know, again,
just know you're not alone.
Yeah, and you're not alone.
I know there's a lot of any guy that's listening to this, it would just be like, damn, if I was sitting listening to this in headphones, I'd be speaking right to myself. But it's just that shit is real. It doesn't make it like, oh well, since you shouldn't feel guilty, then like it's no danger.
Right.
There's still a danger to it. Just because I don't feel empowered by it, I don't feel like guilty and like I need, like I'm just this big piece of shit. But it's also like any shame comes from like, damn, I hate that I don't have control over myself. I hate that. I hate when, because I'd be like, if I punch somebody in the face and it's like, dude, I have no control over myself. Well, fuck, I hate my life will go a certain way if I can't stop myself from punching people in the face. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So when you have a problem that can quickly turn into you cannot stop doing it, and even if you take a 3-day break, a 4-day break, whatever, it's always sitting there waiting. The nighttime always comes. Going to take a shower always happens. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So you open that fucking door, that door will now be open for the next 70 years. You will have to contend with that shit every day of your life. Just saying. You can do whatever you want. I'm not going to kill you. I'm not some Pharisee saying, you masturbate, I'll kill you. I'll let the masturbation do that for itself. You know what I'm saying? So
it's it's definitely killing off your sperm.
100%.
I would say that if you do struggle with it and you're trying to figure out some way to get around that, not necessarily to get around it, but if you're
go to your local church
to help,
get a purity card.
I've heard of people really strengthening their resolve in a lot of situations with fasting. Fasting
the same thing
is a thing that God asks us to do for like his glory and to kind of take away some of the luxuries that we have in our life and to just make your day a little bit harder so that you reach out to God more. I think that speaking from a secular point of view, I think even just fasting, I do think God is important in that situation, but even if you don't believe in God or the God of the Bible, to reach out to something bigger than you, that could end up being God, or whoever. But to reach onto something bigger than you and take away food, I mean water for a certain period of time, other things that you could be fasting from, that can help you with some of your urges, which you may be struggling with. So take that for what it's worth, just a pinch of salt, grain of salt, I guess.
That's a huge... I would say a pinch of salt, because that's a huge important topic in the Bible is fasting. And, you know, because again, even in a secular view, if you're abstaining yourself from pleasure, because again, the question is, are you going to die in the next 24 hours if you don't eat? No, no.
Right.
So the only reason that I would eat is because I feel like it, because I'm not going to die.
Yeah.
So if I can abstain from that, I'm going to show myself that I can push through those impulses, because hunger is an even deeper impulse than sex. If I'm hungry and horny, I'm going to go get something to eat.
Oh,
if I'm starving,
dude,
and haven't starved for sex, I'm going to go get food. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if you can get a hold of that, which I had Chick-fil-A for lunch, you know what I'm saying? I struggle with that. I had a Sonic a couple nights ago. You know what I'm saying? Like, food, that's a beautiful thing, is that you get food under control that may bleed into all of the other things, because, again, food and sex, dog, potent. Just like I snapped you when I was at Sonic and I was like, I can pull up to this bitch with a piece of plastic, press a button. They ask me what I want. I tell them all that I want. And in 5 minutes, they bring it all out. I tap my little, I don't even have the insert now. I have the little tap thing.
That's crazy,
fucking,
dude.
I'm like, this is the future, bro.
Yeah.
And It's just like, wow, this is that I don't have to go home and cook. I don't have to go warm up the oven. I don't have to do any of this shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, it can make people become reliant on it so quickly because of how quick and easy. And but again, the ease of access, that's the things that are usually the most dangerous. The ease of access to masturbation, the ease of access to quick food, not necessarily the best food. The ease of access to sex rather than trying to make it happen within a relationship with someone that you're married to, that access isn't there every day. You have to work for that in the real world to make that accomplished. I don't have to do shit to masturbate. I don't got to do shit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but I think we're kind of on the same page with masturbation. Shout out to all the masturbators out there. It's probably fucking all of you.
Masturbators.
And it's all good. You know, there's no... If I judged anybody for doing that, I'd be, what is it, like talking about someone's splinter in their eye with a log in my eye.
Yeah, you'd have a log in your eye and be trying to take out a speck in someone else's.
Exactly.
But I'll tell you what, masturbators, RZA and Pee Wee Herman are your biggest fans, so take that to the grave with you.
RZA.
Yeah, the RZA.
Why is that?
The RZA wrote like a verse or a song about like a sperm cell trying to find an egg.
I just think it's just a weird
verse.
So there's some supporters of it out there.
Yeah.
Get the RZA doctrine. And get Pee-wee. The RZA doctrine. Shout out Pee-wee.
So I think now we'll go into something that we probably differ a little bit more on, which is going to be homosexuality.
Yes. Could you give your definition? I need to step out for just 2 seconds.
Yeah. So I don't necessarily know what cougar means by definition, but I'll throw something out there. I personally think that the case of homosexuality is a little bit more nuanced than a lot of current Christians want to say or give. There's not many places really in the Bible where it talks about homosexuality. The big one that people like to say is Sodom and Gomorrah. They say, well, yes, God banished Sodom and Gomorrah, and they're bad.
Because they're gay.
Because they're gay, and right? That's why you should not be gay.
Did you learn that in church?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I don't know if it was like directly or if it was just from like around, but it was like, there's that. There's the Leviticus verse where it's like, a man shall not lay with a man as he does a woman. And then there's like a couple of verses in the New Testament.
Well, because getting straight into homosexuality, which I just said, give me the definition of homosexuality, which is kind of funny. But, you know, like Leviticus, I think it was, like you said, it's that one's fairly like, okay, it's kind of saying this. Sodom and Gomorrah, if homosexuality is a sin, that's one of the drops of balsamic vinegar of all of the sin that's fucking going on. Like absolutely. The gang rape, you know, sex outside of marriage for the man. You know, it's not that, just homosexuality that was in that caused that.
Let me tell this story real quick, just to kind of give some context to anyone who doesn't know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot, who's Abraham's nephew, is in Sodom. And God approaches Abraham and he's like, yo, I'm going to send my people into Sodom. And if I don't find 100 good people in there, then I'm going to kill it. And Abraham starts kind of questioning God. And he's like, well, what if you find 50 good people? And God's like, then I'll save it. And he's like, well, what if you find 25 good people? And he's like, then I'll save it. And he's like, well, what if you find like 10? He's like, then I'll save it. Okay, man. Like, just like if I find one good person, he doesn't say that. But that's essentially what God's getting at. He's like, listen, man, I'll save the 10.
Any good people. Any good people.
At least like minimum 10, you know,
right,
okay. Which we'll see why God doesn't save Sodom and Gomorrah.
Right.
So the men come into the town and it's kind of debated whether angels or whether they're like actual God himself.
Okay.
But it says that these men came into the town and that Lot found them and that Lot like welcomed them into his home.
Okay.
And that he was like, yo, what's up? Welcome to Sodom. I'm Lot. I'm a good man of God. Abraham's my uncle. Let's kick it.
Okay.
And then the men gathered outside of the house and they knock on the door and Lot's like, what's up? And they go, bring those men out here so that we may have sex with them. That's what they say. They don't say, hey, you know, the guys who were here, we saw them come in looking like some Andrew and Tristan Tate motherfuckers.
Yep.
We'd like to bone down with them. They say, bring them out here so we may have sex with them.
We're going
to
do whatever we want with them.
Okay. And Lot, after that, goes, no.
I have something better.
These are my servants, and I have a better gift for you. Here are my two young virgin daughters. You can have sex with them. And the men go, no. We want to fuck the dudes.
Bring the buns, baby.
Which...
The
okay.
Buns and the guns, baby.
If you want to say that the story of Sodom and Gomorrah is about homosexuality and how it's wrong, you're innately also then saying that giving up two virgin daughters is better than men having sex with men.
Absolutely.
Now, Lot did this, and you could be like, well, I thought Lot was supposed to be a good dude. Again, Lot's in Genesis, so this is before the law, so it's kind of like...
It's before they really knew anything, could you say?
Like, yeah.
They're still kind of figuring shit out.
Super early on, okay. Within like... I mean, Babylon is around during this time, right? So it's like, so they really were confused. There was a lot going on.
Right.
There was no law, and sin was kind of running the world.
Damn. Okay.
Right? So not even in this does it just give that, but in Ezekiel 16 at the end of that verse.
Do you want me to go to that?
Sure, you can go to that, because I think that we'll be able to find this easier.
Ezekiel 16?
Ezekiel 16, yeah.
I can't spell Ezekiel.
In Ezekiel 16, it literally references Sodom and why God, it's like near the bottom of it. If you want to like look up Sodom, you can probably find it. It's like verse 40 or something. Yeah, right there, 45.
Oh, perfect.
So... Sodom and their ways, the practice of, yeah, so your older sister Samaria, who lived with her daughters to your north, and your younger sister was Sodom, who lived with her daughters to the south, and you not only walked in their ways and practiced their abominations, but soon you were more depraved than they were. So God is essentially laying out in Ezekiel right here like why certain places got destroyed. Right, like that's what he's doing.
Right.
He's like, this is why you got destroyed.
And so Sodom was named after this person?
No, I think he's talking about a city. Your older sister was Samaria, like this other city. Like God is talking to cities.
Oh, okay.
And your younger sister was Sodom, okay. Who was in the south of you.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay. And he says in 48, as assuredly I live, declares the Lord, your sister Sodom and her daughters never did as you and your daughters have done. So they did different sins. Okay. Now this was the iniquity of your sister Sodom. This is what their downfall. She and her daughters were arrogant, overfed, and complacent. America. They did not help the poor and needy. America. Thus they were haughty and committed abominations before me. Therefore I removed them as you have seen. Now, Obviously the word abominations is there and people are going to be like, well, that's them having gay butt sex.
Right.
And it doesn't say that. Abominations is anything that is not good in the face of the Lord.
Yep, exactly. Which a Christian could say Leviticus 18:22 does say it is an abomination, but it's saying abominations. So if you say, well, see, this is why you shouldn't be gay, this is a terrible, terrible attempt at that.
Yeah.
Because this is not talking about that. This is talking about a city that has rotted from the inside out, and it got so crazy. So was Lot like the king of Sodom and Gomorrah?
No, dude, he's just a guy.
And then they were just like, yo, bring those guys out here. And he's like, oh, fuck, okay.
Well, they saw men of God, right? Like, strangers essentially coming into town, and I'm sure that they had some sort of, you know, elegance or like air about
so
them,
like, yo.
And I'm sure they wanted to fuck them for power,
bring the cheeks.
That was a big thing back then, man. That's a big thing in like Roman culture, and before that
was a huge thing in prison too.
It's power, man. It's not necessarily about like, yeah, it's about getting the nut, but it's about like, I own you now.
Yeah. Yep.
So
yeah, I totally agree. From what I understand, that it's about a completely rotten city, and if you wanted to completely highlight homosexuality, you'd have to completely highlight every abomination in the eyes of the Lord. And so it exposes you if you only want to focus on one thing, because it's not about that. And if you are focused on that, then what the fuck? You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
So in your church, would they say, see, Sodom and Gomorrah were... like it was because of the abomination of homosexuality. Like, was that
no? If you want to look up real quick, homosexuality in the New Testament, they would probably direct you or direct anybody who had these questions towards the two verses that it brings it up in the epistles of Paul. If you go get seven gay texts, that's that second one. I'm sure that that's probably seven gay texts.
Hell yeah.
Genesis. Okay, so Romans 1, 26 through 27 is one of them. And the other one, oh no, it's yeah, so Romans is kind of, we can look it up, but 1 Corinthians and 1 Timothy are the two that they would have probably pointed us towards.
Okay.
So 1 Corinthians, I'm pretty sure this is the passage where Paul is laying out who will and who won't see the kingdom of heaven.
Okay.
And he's saying like that murderers won't receive the kingdom of heaven and blah, blah, blah. These people won't. It says, do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who submit to the performance of homosexual acts, will not receive the kingdom of heaven. Can you look up 1 Timothy 1:10?
Yes.
This one says the sexually immoral men who practice homosexuality, enslavers, liars, perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine.
Wow.
So these are the texts they probably would have pointed us towards. The text in Romans is essentially Paul addressing that men and women have abandoned their naturalness, like what should be natural
for them.
What
they were made for.
Right. Which I think is more... It does mention them having sex with each other, but I think you can also define that more of like, well, there's more naturalness other than just like who you're having sex with. Right. These ones specifically are like, these people will not inherit the kingdom of heaven, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So the... And I just want to clarify the Romans thing one more time, because like we're saying, humans are more fluid than I think a lot of times Christians want to give us credit for.
Yeah.
That we do have certain things that we're supposed to be doing, mm-hmm. but there is also a vastness within humanity and men and women yes. that what is natural to you might not be natural to me.
Right. Right.
So that's kind of my justification for those. These ones, if you look at like the actual words that are used, we can read it. Romans 1:26. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions, right? Okay. For their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passions for one another. Men committed shameless acts with men and received themselves the due penalty for their errors. I don't think that necessarily means, I mean, obviously lust is a part of that, but I don't think that necessarily means being gay. I don't know, man. I don't think so.
I think it's talking about men and women having a relationship that they're defiling, and they're doing that with doing shameful thing with each other. And that thing is sin, and there's a penalty.
What's
for
the
that.
KJV of this? And likewise, also men leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one towards another. But I feel like you, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was met. I see what you're saying, but I also just feel like if you're just saying that you gave up your naturalness mm-hmm. of like what you're doing, then it could be more broad, and you could be lusting after something that someone has,
right?
Not, I mean, in a sexual way possibly, but also like jealousy as well. Like I could be like, oh well, we should do this because like fuck whatever the women have going on, like we could do whatever we want,
right? But wouldn't that be like coveting something or being jealous of something? Because it just feels like very specifically the word lust kind of sets the stage of what they're doing towards one another.
Can we look that word up?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'll bring up the 1 Corinthians, because I guess that is more direct than I thought it was. The thing about Corinthians and Timothy that I think is interesting is they use words when they talk about homosexuals that are one of them is like malakoi, and that's a super uncommon word just in that language in general, which means something close to like effeminate call boy. And the other word used in Corinthians is arsenkoitai, which is a word that Paul made up, and means male bed, like these people who bring males into their bed or whatever that's supposed to mean.
Right.
Will not see the kingdom of heaven. Yeah, 1:27, blue letter. Oh, yeah, nice. I think that if you use two words that are very uncommonly used, then it does create more room for discussion, at least.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? Yep.
So
we're looking for lust.
We're looking at Romans 1:27 now.
And we're defining lust.
It's a feminine noun.
desire, longing, craving for. Yeah, there's no sexual. It could be an appetite.
Yeah.
But so, like if you said, I have an appetite for men.
Yeah, but it isn't necessarily just
well, so let's sex. Run it through. Oh, right.
Desire, yeah. longing, craving for, right? Like
if I desire men, if I long for men, if I crave men.
Yeah,
if
I think.
I have an appetite for men, an eager desire for men.
What are the other translations? It's used once. Okay, this is another thing, right?
Okay.
It's used only once in all of Scripture.
Okay.
So again, if we're going to use words that don't have any other correlation to anything else in the Bible, it's really hard to say, well, what does that mean?
Right. Yeah.
I feel like I can have an unnatural desire. Check this out. I feel like I can have an unnatural desire to be around you that isn't necessarily sexual. But that you
like what?
Like if I just really admired you.
You think like that's unnatural?
Yeah. Like Why? if I was idolizing you. Like if I was really idolizing you and I was like, I got to be around Cougar like all the time because like he really knows what's going on. Like, you know, really like there's natural things for men and for women.
Right.
Right. And to have like an unnatural like longing or a desire for someone, I think can come from something because you're worshiping that person as opposed to worshiping God.
Right.
It doesn't necessarily just have to mean sex.
Right. So I don't know what BLB is talking about because I'm finding lust in 18 instances.
Right. Is this lust or is it the actual word?
The actual word lust.
No. Is it the G3 go up a little bit?
Oh, I see what you're
saying. See what I'm saying? So it's this word. It's orexis.
This.
It's and orexis, this is the only place that you find orexis in the Bible.
Oh, okay.
So when they translate it, right, they're going to translate it to lust because the Bible speaks a lot about lust.
Right.
Kind of like the Bible speaks about a male God.
Right.
Yep. Like they're going to try to make some things fit. Because when they're translating, everything isn't always an exact translation.
Yes, yes.
So I do feel like that there is an argument to be made where it's like you can long for someone and not necessarily be lusting after them.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I do see that.
So
the lust that comes up here is obviously a different word.
Yes.
Desire, craving, longing for what is forbidden, lust.
So see what I'm saying? Where it's like there's different words that they use in the actual text.
Yes.
That those are very important because
yeah,
as Christians and people who study the Bible, you're always taught language means something.
Yes.
So if we're using arson koitai, malakoi, oxenus, whatever this word is,
mm-hmm.
these are the only instances of these words coming up in all of Scripture.
And that's significant.
It's significant because you're going to try to make it fit into a box. Well, maybe it doesn't fit into this box. Maybe it's something broader than that. But because you're trying to simplify and deliver, you're going to say, well, it means this or it means that or it means this.
Okay, right. Yep.
So to me, while masturbation seems to be much more of a kind of concrete, like you can look at that as being a very lustful thing,
mm-hmm.
homosexuality, although it probably wasn't set up how it is from the beginning. Can you go to Matthew 19 real quick?
Yes.
Because I want to go back to what we were saying about the eunuchs, right?
Yes.
Where it was like, not every man shall receive this. Some eunuchs are born eunuchs. Some eunuchs are, made eunuchs by other men. And some eunuchs are become eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven. Right? And what's, I think, important to remember about this verse is, like I was saying in past episodes, eunuchs was a much broader term.
Right.
Than just a man who's had his penis cut off.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It a lot of times was not a lot of times. I can't say that for certain, but it was definitely used as a man who was very close with like someone who was high up. And typically if they were women, then they were gay.
Right.
And
this
could be my side of like stretching it too.
Right.
Right. Yep. But in Matthew 19, can you go to 19? Sorry.
Oh, I'm at one. Yep.
You're good. Near the top of it. Down a little bit, just a little bit more. He says, not everyone can accept this statement. Only those whom God helps. Some are born as eunuchs. Some have been made eunuchs by others. And some choose not to marry for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. The actual, like, the choose not to marry is become eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven.
Right, okay.
From the KJV.
Oh, gotcha, okay. Yep.
So I do think that there's a level of... I do think that there's a level of missing the mark if you're going to pursue homosexuality. because God did design man and woman for each other. But if we look at Matthew 19, some eunuchs were born eunuchs. So I think that there will be some times when, I mean, people, I personally believe that people are born. I think that everyone's born bisexual. That's just my point of view. But that kind of gets beaten out of us through a heterosexual culture. Mm. And this is a topic for a completely different time. Mm-hmm. But some people are born, I mean, however they are, right?
Right.
And I think what Jesus is saying here is that these people aren't necessarily sinning because they're born like that.
Right.
And these people are like this because men made them like this, right? Like, I know a lot of people who got abused as children. Mm-hmm. And maybe because of that, now they have a certain sexuality.
Right.
And that there will be some who do this for the kingdom of heaven because they want to honor God. They don't want to, because it weighs on them. So they want to stress to God that they're willing to put that they're willing to put possible sin, right?
Yep.
Below God above that.
Yes.
Right.
I've seen a lot of people, especially on TikTok when I was in my TikTok days, a lot of gay people that had a Christ testimony that said that they turned away from homosexuality and like were no longer gay in a sense because of their relationship with Christ. I didn't know there were people out there like that.
Oh yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So, yeah. There's a lot of people out there like that. Do you know how those people come to like that usually?
Nope.
Through like 12-step programs. And like there's a, I can't remember what the actual term is, but there's like a conversion camps where you go to this camp, you go to like a lot of like, like, you know, it's a bunch of adults who are also struggling with the same things, and you go and they're like, well, you shouldn't do it because of this, 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 and this. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it typically is, well, God doesn't want you to be like that.
Right. Right.
Right. But I think if you look at scripture, it says, well, some people are born eunuchs.
Right.
Yeah. And I think that that doesn't inherently make them wrong if they pursue that relationship. But what will make it wrong is when they start to really become lustful after it. Mm-hmm. Because I think if you become lustful at all, you're sinning.
Right.
100%, right.
Yep.
But to me, Jesus right here is kind of opening like, what can the sect of everything look like from the Old Testament to now?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, yep. These rules used to be placed on us. It's more about your heart now. And it wasn't from the beginning that it was supposed to be like this, but but people are like this.
Right.
Yep. So, and I think that there will be some people who view it as wrong and who become eunuchs, or like you're saying, become straight. Mm-hmm. Right. To me, I think that those people are lying to themselves.
That's a big claim.
Yeah.
Because this guy that I saw had like he was like broken down crying in his room, and like Jesus walked into his room and he was like, what are you doing here? And blah, 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 blah. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, it'd be hard for me to tell somebody that, because that would be like me. I could tell a gay person, no, you're just lying to yourself. That's all. Like, you are straight. You're just lying to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I don't know. Because then it almost looks like being gay is a choice. If someone can choose not to be gay, you know what I'm saying? That they're claiming that they are.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. That's why I think that they're lying to themselves.
Because you don't think it's a choice.
I don't think it's a choice.
Ah.
And I think that there are some people who are born like it. And I mean, sometimes it happens to you. Maybe you weren't, you know, supposed to be gay, but then you got abused when you were a kid and, you know, you were exposed to things that you shouldn't have been exposed to. Mm-hmm. And men made you like that.
Right.
And maybe you were like, well, I feel like this is taking away from my relationship of God. So then you, you know, become what, maybe, I don't know, if to become what you're not, I think is the wrong way to put that, but to,
well, you deny yourself.
You put boundaries on yourself. You deny yourself in order to reach God. But I don't think that God necessarily needs that from you. That's what I'm
like
saying.
For like salvation?
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah. Like, I don't think that God needs you to be I think that you can be a gay man in a gay relationship or a lesbian woman in a lesbian relationship, as long as you're still trying to live through God's word.
Yeah.
I think that you can still reach salvation. Like, I don't think
I agree with that.
We agree. Like, homosexuality. And
I would still consider, or I would understand the Bible to still consider it a sin.
Yeah, I would agree.
Even if they do that and attain salvation, it's still a sin that they're doing that. You know what I'm saying?
But how would people be, I mean, yeah, I can agree with you on that. Because you're still missing the mark of what God wanted for you.
Right.
Even if you were born that way and you still choose to live that way. But my issue with it is that Christians don't say that. I think that's really where it comes from for me, is that they say, well, you can be gay. And this is where a lot of those people who I'm saying to you, like, that are straight now, that were gay, they're like, well, you can be gay, but you just can't act on it.
Right.
They're like, God made you gay, but it's but if you act on that, then he's not going to forgive you. Because you're actively choosing to sin.
Right.
And this is some shit where you're saying, where it's like, if people are like, oh, well, you know, Tom is fucking all these dudes, but I'm having sex with all these chicks, so I'm cool.
Yep. But in the end, they're both wrong.
Right. But Christians don't say that. And that's where my complaint comes in.
Yeah, that's fine.
Is that they say, that, like, if you pursue homosexuality, then you're actively doing that, and that your life is no longer can be God's.
Right.
And just because, like, I struggle with lying, right? Like, that was like a big thing for me growing up, and I wouldn't necessarily pursue lying, but lying would just happen.
Right.
And because I'm not pursuing it, I'm inherently better.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't think that if you actively pursue homosexual relationships, that would be a deterrent on your salvation.
Right. Agreed. I would argue the same thing with, like, promiscuous men in the church and them trying to, like, it's not biblical to judge a gay man for his sins while you're sinning. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because again, it's the whole log in my eye with the speck in your eye. But again, if we're being biblically accurate, the guy who's running the church and the man who's gay are both sinning.
Mm-hmm.
They're both committing sin. So then our beef comes with just how hypocritical people are. And I'm like, well, yeah, absolutely. I fucking totally believe someone would judge me for doing something and then do something worse.
Yeah.
And I've judged somebody and then I did something worse. You know what I'm saying? Like, and so that's where I think this is a really good point to bring, is like, if anyone who's listening, try to identify where your issues lie with the Bible and see how many of them are because of how someone has represented it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because the church did not represent sexual immorality in a way that, like, empowered you. It actually really harmed you. You
right.
know what I'm saying? That all, because when we break down what it's talking about, it's pretty straightforward. But if I try to control you with that instead of just telling you what the text is, now we're in a different game. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so it's really important to identify, like, just like Mosaic Law. Yeah, I hate the Bible because of Mosaic Law, because they were killing people for two different cloths. And it's like, okay, well, again, then you better not read the Quran because of 9/11. And if you'd call me a bigot for saying that, then the logic applies to the Bible as well.
Totally.
That human misrepresentation does not represent the text. People justify slavery with the Bible. That's not what the fucking Bible is saying. You know what I'm saying? So, like, if I use that as the straw man, I can be all happy with my conclusion, but, like, it's way deeper than that.
And I want to kind of piggyback off of what you're saying right there and just say that, like you're saying, the text can say one thing and your church, there's a chance, a decent chance that your church could say another.
Yes.
And they're
or
not
add on to it.
And know? Add on to it. Yeah. And they're not going to show you, you know, that these words only appear in this verse. So it's not to say that it's not backed by the Bible, but there's just not a lot of us in order to, like, infer from other texts, which is what a lot of the Bible is.
Right.
It's, you know, using context words to say, well, this could mean that because it says this here.
Yep.
And in these three verses in the New Testament that talk about homosexuality, it's all singular words that are never used anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of want to just say this, like, you are going to sin regardless. We all know this.
Yes.
Right? So you're going to sin if you get up and poop and you don't pray to God.
Yep.
You know, like, sin is going to come at you, and it literally just means to miss the mark.
Right.
So, like we're both agreeing on, we're going to do stuff every day in our lives. We're probably going to actively pursue sin in certain areas.
Yep.
But that doesn't make anything right with judging. And that, you know, that's a big thing about this podcast, I would say, this series, is neither one of us judge each other for the beliefs that we have.
Right.
We hash them out and we talk about them in-depthly, and sometimes we get our minds changed.
Yep.
But we both know that at the end of the day, the only thing that can save us is the grace of God.
Yep.
And us judging each other, honestly, I don't want to say takes away that grace, but that grace can start to fade real quick if you're out there just saying who's going to be going to hell and who isn't.
Yep. Well, and for the other side of that point is that just because someone has made you feel bad for a behavior over and over again does not mean that that behavior is then okay. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Just because someone has misrepresented a situation and made you feel guilty, the answer, which I thought was the answer when I was younger, was, well, fuck you. I'm literally going to do the exact opposite of what you have said, of what you have told me, because I'm aware of your bullshit. You know what I'm saying? But that's the thing. Andrew Tate will hit the mark sometimes where it's like, oh shit, okay, I kind of see what he's saying. You know what I'm saying? And fuck, I just completely forgot what I was saying about something about God, man.
Something about God, man.
Something about God. We've been doing
too many of these episodes, man.
Oh, I had a good point. When I listen to this back, I'm going to be like, ah, oh, there was the point right there.
I feel you too, because sometimes I'm just like caught in that moment where I'm like, I'm listening to every word that you say, and you're like, what was I just saying? And I was like fuck. I'm usually pretty good at bringing back up what people are saying. Yeah, but
yep. But in the end, it's there is to me a very defined way that we should interact with sex when you read the Bible. And you're going to get told different things when you go to our society, to Hollywood, to our schools, to whatever. Everything's going to have a doctrine of sex. So I think that it's nice to be honest to the text and where it says, yeah, like, fuck, a man shouldn't lie with a man. Like, but also, if I'm then like, well, I will be the judge of all the gays after reading this, and I will stop people from being gay. Again, now we're in a new territory where I've taken it upon myself to try to fix things that are not even fixable in my situation. Mm-hmm. It's not something for me to fix. So it may not even be something to fix for me. You know what I'm saying? Like, because I don't give a fuck if people have sex with whoever, man. I really don't. You know my sexual immorality definition from the beginning. But again, when we're looking through a biblical lens, that's when people get like, and it's also like, well, if you don't care about the Bible, then who fucking cares? And I'll also not be shamed into supporting homosexuality. I really won't. I'm not going to do it because I'm afraid of what people would say if I...
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And I'm going to do it because I'm gay.
There you go.
Well, that's just the facts, man.
Yeah.
And I would say that, like Odyssey said before, God cares less about marriage than I think we really know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if you were having unmarital sex with anybody, it's way worse than if you're going to be having marital sex with your spouse, whether they're the same sex as you or not. So there's, I'm struggling with the levels of sin, man. I don't know if there's levels of sin. I really don't. Or if they're all
either.
The same.
I don't either.
But what I'm going to say is this. I do believe that people are born, I mean, bisexual. I think that people are born with certain sexualities. And I think that it's wrong if we're having sex with people. The Bible's going to say that you're not married to, but I think that's kind of crazy because it's still a governmental thing.
Mm-hmm.
And marriage back then means something different than today. Obviously, it's saying you're supposed to have sex with one flesh, and that's the best case scenario. But I think if you're just running around fucking whoever, fucking yourself, just banging whatever, it's not going to end up pretty for you.
Yes, agreed.
The main thing that you should do is guard yourself. Make sure that you're noticing your urges and not feeding into them, regardless of what it is.
Yes.
And I'll leave everything else up to God.
Yep. Beautiful. Because the urges will become your character if you allow them to run rampant. They will become who you are. And then you will be an embodiment of the vices that you have when they get out of control. And so impulses are there to help us survive and help us eat and help us reproduce and shit. Like, they're good, but, and this is another Tate thing, is like, you have to fucking suffer. And that's a Goggins thing. That's not just him, but that's a lot. Like,
yeah,
you have to suffer and not just give in to every impulse that you have. And that comes down to, you know, fast. Stop eating for 24 hours and just drink water. I've tried that. I can't do it. I haven't done it yet. And it's like, why? Because I'm like, oh, fuck, dude, it's not that big of a deal. I'll just have a bowl of cereal. And it's like, there it is. There's the impulse that, like, the impulse for me is that it downplays the accomplishment. So it's like, okay, who cares if you eat in the next 10 hours or right now?
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Okay. You
give in to the urge.
Just boil it down to it doesn't matter, and then it's easy to justify. So be aware of your urges. Identify yourself. Get to know yourself a little bit.
Know yourself.
That shit ain't gonna save you, but it may give you a little bit of wisdom to fucking help you out in this world, because our urges, without any wisdom, can become you, and you don't want that.
Cougar's starting to sound Gnostic. God amazing. Damn.
God bless Thomas, man.
Amazing, bro. Thank you guys so much for being on this journey with us. We really, really appreciate it.
Round of applause, baby.
Come back next week.
Come back next week.
For the outro of Bible Secrets.
Love you.
Call it a special life. A special life. I'm thinking that's what this is. There's no better time. No better time than this to exist. I'm running with my head down. I'm running with my tail tucked. I've been a legend.